The Miami Dolphins came oh so very close, but unfortunately, some mistakes had them falling far. What is up, Dolphin fans? Unfortunately, we are not here on better terms. So close, like I said, so very close. Real quick, do have to shout out today's sponsors, SeatGeek. Go check them out. Use the link in the description. You get $20 off your first purchase using the code PHINS. Fins, fantastic app. 28 million downloads, 70,000 events, whether it's concerts, sports, festivals, all that good stuff. Go check them out. Also, don't forget to use our other sponsor, which is Sleeper. Fantastic. Another fantastic, fun app. We use them all the time, especially during our previews, talking about the over-under. Use the promo code HMA, and you get 100% matched up to $100. And then, hold on. Gotta move people around. We have a new sponsor, Manta. Manta sleep masks. I don't know if you guys know. I got mine right down here. These things are comfortable. Manta sleep masks. So if you're a nurse like my wife and you work night shift and you come home and you're like, God, that sun is bright. I got to get some sleep. I have blackout curtains. But anyway, get yourself one of these. These things move so you can move them perfectly to where your eyes are. 100% true blackout. Adjustable eye cups. Breathable. Click the link in the description. Grab yourself some. Fantastic, fantastic. They also come with earplugs. They come with a carrying case. It's for those night workers mostly, but even if you want to just take a nap during the day, grab yourself some. Also, don't forget to hit the join button next to subscribe if you want to become a member and get all the great perks like our ugly faces that Joshua Brooks is using right now.
Speak for yourself.
If you want to be at the end or if you want to get a shout out when you tell us how long you've been a member, all that good stuff. And don't forget to check out the podcast. So, Dolphins lost. That's the show. See you guys later. They fought hard. Honestly, I didn't think they would fight that hard. I thought it would be a complete blowout. They fought hard. So let's recap it. We're obviously going to get into why they lost, but first, kind of recap it. Like I said, they fought hard, man, and I didn't expect it. Run game, Ollie Gordon looked fantastic. The offensive line, you know, looked good at points, looked bad at points. If you notice, both quarterbacks didn't really throw more than 5 yards down the field, kind of took advantage of the underneath stuff. Defense woke up in the fourth quarter, but outside of that, it could not stop them. But it's Josh Allen. What do you expect? I want to start with TD. We're going to get to the topic. Let's start with Omar.
Omar's going to finish, and then we'll talk about him behind his back once he leaves. Omar.
I know that's true.
Not getting to the two issues that kind of lost us the game. Obviously, there's two big glaring things. Your thoughts on the game. Give me some positives.
You know, I've been really thinking about this team, how they respond to the losses, how they respond to the season. I'm watching everything extremely closely and paying contextual, like I'm putting it in context with the seasons that I've covered for 18 years. And I've seen a lot of disaster, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of teams falling apart. And I really came to the conclusion, this team isn't having fun. Mm-hmm. And they haven't had fun for a very long time. I think that they are basically overcome by the pressure of the season. They can deny as much as they want that they know what the stakes of the season are, which is people are going to lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just really too much. And I think guys like Sealer and Tua and, you know, I can't really think of any off the top of my head, maybe even Brooks, maybe even Jalen Phillips, they're just putting too much on their plate, too much on their shoulders, and not really going out there playing freely, enjoying themselves. Think about it, the Waddle little celebration. We finally saw the Waddle back. We saw Tyreek do a backflip. How much celebrating do you see amongst with one another? How much? Yeah. And I see some of it, but I really just don't think that this team is really enjoying themselves playing football. And I think when they get back to that, maybe they'll play better. Obviously, they got their assignments and executions got to get perfected. But, man, how much better is your job when you enjoy going to your job as opposed to hating your job?
That's true. Alan, what's your thoughts on the game?
Interesting point you made there. And your point would explain why Zach Sealer, for example, was called by McDaniel for trying to do too much and not maintaining his rush lane in the previous game. It would explain why Bradley Chubb on that game-clinching 30-yard completion on the last drive followed a receiver to the outside where Rasul Douglas was right there and left Elijah Moore wide open in the middle. To a certain degree, I thought the Dolphins played well. They, but for a lot of the game, the problem is their margin for error is not good right now. And the difference in this game is they made two crucial mistakes and Buffalo didn't make any. And another point I would make, Mike McDaniel explained that Zach Sealer wasn't necessarily going after the punter to block the punt. It was to rush him in his process. And to that, I would say, why would you just even remote? That's what he said. Why would you even remotely take that chance when it's 21-21? You're about to get the ball back with 8:21 left. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And then, you know, the other plays, the pick was the pick. And this is where you're paying two of franchise quarterback money. Franchise quarterback can be coming up short at the end of the game week after week.
Yep.
Sorry. Sorry, Omar.
TD, what's your thoughts on the game?
No, both these guys made great points. Alan just said, as far as the discipline part of the game with the turnovers and the penalties as well is a big part. We went three quarters where we actually played a little bit better disciplined and well coached. I said we will have a chance to win the game if we just minimize penalties, don't turn the football over, and have your operations ready so you don't have to burn timeouts. And what happened in the fourth quarter? The penalties started, the turnover came, and they burned a timeout when they didn't want to. All of it happened, and it was downhill because Buffalo's going to be almost perfect. They're coach well, and they have veterans and Josh Allen. They're not going to turn the football over. He's a totally different quarterback. It's time to give him credit for that. He doesn't turn the ball over anymore.
No.
We're going on almost a year and a few months of this now because he's learned how to take what the defense gives him and be okay with it consistently. But that's what it comes down to, and that's where we lost the game in the fourth quarter because all of those things went out the building. But I will say this. Omar said it. They're not having fun. And think about when all of the fundamentals went out of the building. Jack Jones made two big plays. I saw it on TV today. I'm shocked somebody else noticed it. Jack Jones made two huge plays. Not a lick of a Dolphin around him celebrating them. Not even a little basic tap on the helmet. It was almost like, man, they didn't want us out, man. Let's just get through this. That's kind of how it felt because – this man is still electric, making plays to give us a chance to win regardless. But it's two plays back-to-back to try to give us a chance, and nobody has energy behind it. Nobody has fire behind it, like, let's get pumped up. Let's build onto this. It's just, all right, man, you made a play. Let's get to the next down. No enthusiasm, nothing from his teammates.
Manti Te'o said something. He said that, and I do agree with him. He said it on Good Morning Football, that they're playing like strangers. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, pretty much. Minka don't know them. Ashton Davis has participated in the offseason. He hasn't practiced in a month. Dante Trader hadn't practiced in a month. Rasul Douglas and Jack Jones, they got to the team in the middle of training camp. You know, Matt Judon, and that's just defense because offense honestly has no excuse outside of the offensive line, and they can run block as I've told you from the beginning. The one thing they can do is run block.
Yeah.
Now pass protect, you know, it is what it is, and I suspect that you've got Tua rushing his process. I know here he comes.
No, you're absolutely right. And Tua is getting skittish also.
100%.
Big time. Yep.
No question. Yeah. And that's part of the what's going on now. But and that's ultimately predictable. Because, you know, like, you don't hear him talking about, I get the ball out my hand fast, brother. Like, you know, I'm soon waiting for him to actually criticize the offensive line, which I think is coming.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Everybody, and they're right. They talk about this all the time. You got to be able to handle criticism, and everybody's got to do their job. I'm glad for once Mike McDaniel benched somebody.
Right.
And, you know, I need somebody to get cut too. But I'm glad for once Mike McDaniel benched somebody, because it shows mediocrity will not be tolerated. And it's not you'll get them next time, buddy, or, you know, good try, or, what is it? The trophy where you participation trophy.
Yeah.
It ain't participation trophy. Everybody about to get fired, bro. Get your job done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is some serious stuff. And I think that message needs to be related, but I also think that the team needs to alleviate some pressure, and a win would help that. But they are not having fun right now.
No.
Not to say that football should be fun, but it is a game.
And to answer the question, because two people asked who got benched, Keon Smith got benched for Daniel Brunskill. Because Keon Smith, that whole right side of the line was struggling. Even last week against the Patriots, like, instant block sheds were getting through. But, you know, one of the things that I talked about, and I got a little pushback because I said that these penalties kind of also fall on the head coach because you don't have them disciplined. And obviously you have a rookie who's going to make a mistake, like when Jonah was down the hill, down the field a little bit on the passes. That's understandable. But when you have as many as we've had in these past 3 weeks.
But they play RPO, and that's the
– But it's not even those plays, though. It's just in general with, you know, these – and to your point, somebody asked me, well, how would he, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, like, you bench him. If a certain player keeps – committing penalties,
who in the game?
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. You have to have it.
You're at the point. Hey, you ain't winning. You ain't winning. So what is it gonna hurt, man? You know what I'm saying?
You don't have a backup. You don't have a backup for Jonah.
But to get to the other subject that we're talking about, obviously, there's two instances. If you really look at the game, that lost us the game, and it is the rough and the kicker. Because if it was running into, it would have been 4th and 2. But let's be honest, even if it was running into, they would have converted 4th and 2. We weren't stopping them at that point. And then 2 is interception. Both of them, there's no excuse, you know, especially, you know, the 2 interception. Even though, you know, McDaniel should have ran the ball. You know, it's 1st and 10. We're down on their 15. You know, we're running the ball the whole quarter. Should have ran the ball on first down.
Seriously?
What happened?
Like a minute left. I mean, no, there's nothing wrong with throwing the ball there. I mean, that's the play.
Yeah, I disagree. You run that football.
Run the ball.
You're at the 20 yard line. You still have some timeouts. You have to run the ball on first down there. I mean, the field is tightened up.
Playing the results.
Well, you know what? You play right into their hand then. You threw the football and you play right into their hands.
Or I'm playing into my strengths, which is my quarterback who is accurate. And but actually, you make an actual point, because your offensive line strength is running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you get a negative run or a difficult run situation. Keep in mind, a lot of Tua's passes are like runs. They're very short.
Yeah. That's what I mean by it. Go at what you know work. Extend the run through the pass, and even if it's out shallow or whatever it may be. But I would have ran the football. I would have actually handed it off to Ollie Gordon. By the way,
Ollie Gordon was getting. I don't think he might have been tackled for a loss once, maybe.
Yeah, not the whole game, but in a critical situation, he wasn't getting a positive yardage. I'm not a second guessing play calling kind of person, so. Y'all can – we're all playing the results. I've learned that's a very dangerous game.
1st and 10 on their 21 with 3:06 left. like
three time three timeouts
like, or was, two. We had two or three. Like three we had two. We had two, and there's 3:06 left on the clock.
Because you definitely don't want to hand them back the ball. Okay.
Exactly. Let that sucker tick, man. Force them to call timeouts. Yeah. Run. They weren't stopping our run. That whole we had a 6-yard run, a 4-yard run. Like we were moving it. And then it's the same thing he did in Kansas City in Germany. Two runs got us down to the 31-yard line, and we threw it four times. It's like he abandons the run because he's like it's like every time I said this on my channel. The Buffalo Bills are now the New England Patriots. And for some reason, whenever we played the Patriots, we overthought ourselves to try to trick Bill Belichick instead of just doing the smart things. And
that's
now
the only way it worked. That's the only way you beat them. And that's the only way that you have success. No. I'm talking about Patriots. I don't think he's trying to outsmart the Bills. I think he's trying to do what is in his quarterback strengths. Throwing completions. It didn't end up good. And Tua, without a doubt, Poupard will celebrate this. He is far from clutch at this moment. Very far from clutch.
Why would you do me wrong like that, Omar? Why would I celebrate that?
Because you've been saying that to me for 2 years, and I fight it, and I say it's gonna come, and it's in there, and it's eventually gonna surface, and you're like, no, it's not. Like,
no, okay. No. What I said is, I need to see it, and we were still not seeing it. No, and I'm not celebrating it, and it's like, and I'm with you. I had zero problem with the idea of throwing the ball. I mean, again, sorry, Doug and TD, you guys are playing the results. I mean, it's easy to say should have run it when he got
picked. No,
I,
before yeah. they we even
did you tweeted ball. Before the play? Yes. Let me ask you this question. You did.
Yeah.
Get the ball here.
100%. It's okay. First down. We like I said, I was sitting there like we need to eat more clock up. We needed to do what we did to them before halftime, and we ate the clock up and gave Buffalo no time, and they took a knee because that was a fumble. And
it wasn't a fumble.
But I was saying run the ball here, 100%. I wanted
to, it wasn't a fumble.
Yeah, it actually wasn't a fumble. If you really look at it, his other knee was still down anyway.
He never had possession of the ball though.
Yeah, he had. It doesn't matter when you're giving yourself up. All you need is that tap. And when it went down, he reestablished it. His knee was already down. That's why he got up. Go look at it. Go look at it.
Because I was looking for the fumble. His right knee's on the ground when he grabs the ball.
Yeah, his knee was already down,
but long enough to establish that he was down.
It didn't matter anyway. We would have had the ball with like 5 seconds left. But yeah, no, I was saying that was my mentality. I'm like, we're moving the ball. There's 3 minutes left. At least let them force them to call timeouts. But if we didn't, and then talking about beforehand, if we didn't have that rough in the kicker, then all of a sudden it's again another situation where instead of going down there to tie, we're going down there to possibly get the lead.
Okay, here's my issue with the roughing the kicker. Bad play, clearly Zach Seeler trying to do too much. I couldn't even tell you, and I'd have to look at old games when I've ever seen Zach Seeler in that situation, because that's just not something he does. So that's a bad idea. And why are you trying to block that? Okay, those are all there. But let's be real about this. Raise your hand if you think that the Dolphins would have driven the length of the field 15, 20 yards, scored a touchdown, and taken the lead of that game, and then held it. Like,
holding is a different subject. I think they could have. I don't know if they're holding it, though.
No, I didn't say could have. I said
Off of two defensive stops. We're fresh off of two defensive stops. You got to ride it. Even if it doesn't work out and they blow it at the end, you got to ride that. And to be quite honest with you, I was thinking in my mind, if you get in that end zone, maybe you go for two.
I thought about that, too. What are they going to do?
I didn't think about that.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have
guessed. But it was too much time on the clock. I was like, if it got under a minute. Right? But it was like 3 minutes.
Yeah, because the series before, so the beginning of the fourth quarter, we went 9 plays, 67 yards, scored a touchdown. Then is when the penalty happened. So it's not to say really wouldn't have happened. I don't agree.
Then the defense had an opportunity to stop them. And they didn't. Like, they lost containment. They had another shot, but it would have been nice if you actually stopped them from scoring a touchdown or made them score a field goal.
They stopped them on three straight drives in the fourth quarter. Then that penalty gave him new life on that third drive.
And I'll probably get a lot of pushback, but again, another situation on that second and 15 where I just don't understand where you're dropping Bradley Chubb. And at one point they drop Sealer into coverage, and these guys should just be containing or getting after Josh Allen. I don't understand why. I'm assuming Weaver's just throwing everything at the wall at that point.
Disguises, coverage, surprise. Didn't Tua get picked off on a defensive lineman dropped in the coverage?
Yeah, their defensive line was actually
that's why we can't like sit there and second guess, because you don't know what they saw in that play. You don't know how they scouted that play. You don't know if they said, okay, on this play.
I wouldn't second guess the dropping back if we were getting pressure. But for 3 weeks we're not really getting pressure. So it makes it like with the Colts game, they were consistently getting pressure. So if you have a rusher going in and then dropping back, that makes sense because you're now offensive line is confused by we're not getting pressure. So dropping guy back, they're like, oh, okay. Just block the linebacker.
I agree. And let me say this about that. Terrible call by Weaver, in my opinion. Why? Because how are you in a second and 15 situation in a must-stop situation and you don't even have a game plan for a spy on Josh Allen? A spy on Josh Allen there would have had the back coming out of the backfield and would have been right there.
Weaver gave a 15-minute speech on why he can't use the spy and why the spy is like a bad idea. Not 15 minutes, but it was – I think it was like either Weaver or Mike McDaniel. It was
in that like, circumstance? Weaver.
Yeah, it's just not ideal for Josh Allen.
The biggest threat on the field isn't the priority in that moment.
I've actually seen this team spy Josh Allen too, and it's just not a recipe that's beneficial for you.
You're taking a guy off the field, and
you're taking a guy out of coverage and taking a guy out of the rush. It just doesn't. You could do it in spot situations, but nobody in the NFL thinks that's a good recipe for Josh Allen.
Tony, who's your spy? Is your other question.
Honestly, I would actually see this is where you got to get creative and make sure you put the right personnel. I would actually go with another back on the field.
Who's your spy? Another
defensive back.
Who's your spy? That didn't answer me.
Whoever's the most athletic guy.
You ain't got no defensive backs to do nothing.
But here's why I say it. It wasn't even Josh Allen that ran.
He ran a couple times.
I'm talking about on that play.
Second 15.
So he gave, and the guy just weaved down the field. A spy right there, that doesn't happen.
They had the play covered. It was a Bradley Chubb one. That's the one I'm talking about where Bradley Chubb went. Followed the guy to the sideline when Rasul Douglas is already there to pick him up.
He was supposed to stay in the middle of the field, and he bit.
One would think.
Left it.
Or maybe he thought that Rasul Douglas was going to switch with him.
I thought it was starting to veer left, and he just bailed that way.
He was following somebody moving across.
Okay.
So before we get to the donations, let's get to the bigger question, kind of where do we go from here? Also, Mike McDaniel. And obviously, that's a game where he's not getting fired after the game. If they lost 50-0, there's a possibility he ain't going to be here Monday. But they fought, and like we keep talking about, they played hard for him. Obviously, it came out that Stephen Ross is a wait and see for now, and all that stuff. So, Omar, real quick before you get out of here, what Mike McDaniel, his future, and where do we go from here?
I think I didn't think anything was going to get done before the Jets game. If he loses to the Jets game, the clock speeds up. It's like a ticking time bomb. Okay. I did promise you he's probably not going to make it past Spain. But realistically, I think that Stephen Ross might give this the entire season. I mean, truthfully speaking, who are you handing this team over to? Anthony Weaver? In my opinion, his defense is more of a problem than it is a help. I would say the defense is the number one issue that this team has right now. They're not playing well at all. They're not in sync. You expect them to be reliable. You expect them to be a top 10 unit. Right now, they'll admit we suck. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you fix that. It's a lot of chemistry issues. It's a lot of communication issues. What do you say?
Stop sucking.
Guys, I might be back after I board, but I gotta give this.
All right, bud. If not, safe travels.
All right, guys.
Yes.
See you back in SoFlo.
All right, let's switch it to the three man. There we go. Okay, so Alan, where do we go from here?
Oh, it's about time he leaves. Okay, so let's.
It's quieter. You just heard like the airport behind him. But like, do you agree? Do you think, you know? Because, you know, while I was watching the game, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, wow, this defense sucks. You know, Weaver might get fired before McDaniel does. Like, where do we go from here? And what's your thoughts on McDaniel's future? Does he get fired this season or does Ross ride it out?
Well, it depends. I mean, how bad it gets. Like, to me, the notion that he might get fired after the Buffalo game was maybe if it's a total embarrassment on national television, and it wasn't anywhere near that. Uh-huh. If they lose against the Jets again on national television and they go to 0-4, I'm not sure that style points matter as much. And to answer the question that Omar brought up, though, is who are you turning to and why? Here's the thing. There will come a point, and we're not there yet. I don't think we're close to there yet, though, when this season becomes about evaluating the guys that you're going to be the crux of the team moving forward. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it doesn't make sense to have a coach who's trying to win games above the priority of prepping players and developing players. And if you have a coach who's either lame duck or whatever, his focus is going to be on winning games.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point where it would make sense to make a move. If Stephen Ross decides in his head, well, after the season is over,
you're gone
anyway. So at that point, might as well do it now.
I got a big question for you because I was asked this a lot during my live stream. Do they ever bench Tua this year to see Ewers?
Johnny, answer the phone. You want that one, Tony? Or?
Oh no, I'm good. No, I don't think they ever gonna bench Tua this year unless knock on wood, an injury or something. Where it's a justified bench where he could actually play, but hey, we want him to relax his injury and not rush him back, you know, have that excuse. Outside of that, he got to play it out because here's another thing. No matter what they decide or a new regime decide, or they have to, at this point, try to make sure they keep his value up to as best they possibly can. And they probably still won't even move off, but still, just in case, you have to try to make sure you maximize his value because he's the wild card. If you really want to scrap this thing, you have to be able to move on, and you have to make that appealing to do it. I don't think teams are out there just going to, hey, man, we got to go get this guy. Mm-hmm. But some circumstances could say, hey, man, I think we should take a chance on this one right here, you know? And that's how you have to leave him and make him look, put him in that situation. So, no, Tua's playing the rest of the season, and I hope he stays healthy and he's able to turn it around and play better because right now his trajectory, dog, that is not good at all. So he gotta change something. Like
there's no defending it. Like there's like maybe little aspects you can say, well, this was because I said in my recap, I said he played a good game. Up to that interception, yeah, he missed some passes. Some were high, and he got flustered in the pocket when he didn't need to. But overall, he played a good game, and then the interception happened. And everything that happened after the interception didn't matter anymore because it's that. As soon as he threw the pick, I said game over, nail in the coffin. We lost because of that.
You know what, Doug? You are 1,000% correct. He played a good game. And for me, and my problem has always been, that's the problem.
It's a
good game.
Mm-hmm.
We need great game. You know, we need or really good. You know, just not good. And that's the point because you hit it right on the head. He missed some throws. And what people don't realize, go look at his pass chart. It's the most opposite pass chart that you've ever seen of Tua Tagovailoa.
Uh-huh.
Nothing in the middle. The man literally, he had 17 passes under 5 yards, which was smart of McDaniel, and it was at a very high level, high percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had 10 passes outside the numbers past 5 yards. 10. You want to know how many he completed?
Five.
Three. He was 3 for 10 outside the numbers. He threw 4 of them on the right side, 6 of them on the left side, outside of the numbers, and he was 3 for 10. So when you say he missed some in the intermediate, the thing I always say about Tua, can you at least get it to 5 out of 10 on the outside? 6 out of 10 gives you a really good game. And we wouldn't be talking. We might not even be talking about the pick at the end. Or the Zeeler screw up. Or there may have not have ever been a screw up because of the way the game flow would have gone. We know some of those big ones that he missed. Was like, ooh, that was a 20-yarder. You sailed it a little too much outside, you know?
When I was breaking down the Patriot film, I was also saying that, too, that you need, as a quarterback, especially one who's getting paid, you know, I think his contract value is like 12th in the NFL among quarterbacks, but still that's high. For you getting paid that much and for us to need you to be a franchise quarterback, you need to make teams pay for leaving guys open. And he doesn't do that. Well, he not consistently. I almost just fell into my own trap. Not consistently.
Yeah.
Exactly. He doesn't do it consistently. Like the pass to Tyreek Hill, which apparently, you know, against the Patriots where he was open, apparently he was supposed to go one way, whatever, still was open. You got to make him pay for leaving him open, and you got to hit him. So it's we're at where we're at. And you, like you said, he's going in the wrong direction. You would think going into year 6, he would continue to build on what he's been doing well, and he is not. He is now, what was it, 2023? He like, because 2022's turned the ball over. They called him 2 of the turn the ball over. And then 2023, he like wasn't turning the ball over. And now he's back to turning the ball over, and he's going in the wrong direction. And
there's no benching him. But again,
No. I'm not saying, here's the thing, because someone in the comment section thought I said I want to bench him. I'm not saying I want to bench him. It's just a question I'm throwing out there, because Alan brought up a good part that you bring in your interim head coach. They now, the team's job now is to see what do we have to build with. And you already know what Tua is, so then the question comes, would you want to see what you have in yours? I'm not saying I want to bench Tua. It's just a follow-up question to a very good answer. Butts.
But if you do that, that means what? That you're moving on from Tua in 2026, and you're gonna eat the salary cap space? Because
if they can find a trade partner, I would do it.
Look with that, because the contract is like he's got $39 million guaranteed in salary next year, and then he's got 4 years – of $8 million an option bonus. That's $71 million right there. If I do the math very quickly, it's a lot of money for a guy that you're moving on because he's not good enough.
So at what point do we, and Omar's back just in time for this. Okay. At what point do we state what nobody really wants to state?
Which is?
Tua's a bust.
I would say he was a bust if it was the Zach Wilson situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, Zach Wilson was a bust, and he was out of New England before his rookie contract was up, and that's a bust. I wouldn't necessarily put Tua in the bust category. He's serviceable, so I don't know if you consider a bust serviceable.
But I'd say we'll let Omar chime in from first class before this.
I'm in row 28. Come on now. You know,
like some nice row 28.
Listen, I would say if we're going to stack him up with his peers, the quarterbacks in that class, the Justin Herberts, the Joe Burrow, the Jordan Loves, the Jalen Hurts, Tua is the worst of that group.
Yeah.
Would that have been my expectation moving into this season, moving into year 6? No, absolutely not. I think circumstances and situations, how people are groomed, how people are developed, how people are coached, what's around them. I think if you change a lot of these scenarios, maybe we have a different outcome. But we are where we are. And yes, Tua is a worse quarterback of his peers in that upper echelon group. But here's the thing. I still think he's a winning quarterback. I still think he's no different than Matt Ryan in terms of, okay, is he great? No. Is he borderline Pro Bowl? Yeah. Can he be elite? Absolutely. But you got to have everything around him right. But how much different is that from Jalen Hurts? Everything around Jalen Hurts is right. Everything around Jalen Hurts is good. And it really comes down to how good you can build a team around him. And as we see, this GM cannot build a good team around him.
I wouldn't use the word bust for him because he's done enough good work to have cleared that bar. Mm-hmm. Did the Dolphins maximize that pick? That's an entirely different story.
Yeah, 100%. All right, donations. Eric with the fiver said, gentlemen, are there any beat writers whose writing or publicly asked for McDaniel to be fired? I appreciate you guys.
I'm joking.
I was going to say, you did.
No, I don't think anyone's publicly asked for him to be fired. That's a fan's thing. That's not a beat writer's thing. No. Red Hood with the fiver said, Omar, they don't believe because they know their quarterback sucks and they need to play perfectly to win. Mike's not the problem. Who is holding the team back? I would say it's 40-60, 40 Mike, 62. I think some of the play calling wasn't great. Not yesterday, but.
Hold on. Are you saying that Tua is holding the team back?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that what we're saying? Because I think we saw a good healthy dose of this team without Tua last year, and you all saw that it sucked. So
backup quarterbacks. I mean,
we could throw Zach Wilson in there if you'd like. We could throw Quinn Ewers in there if you'd like. I promise you, they look a lot worse than they look now.
I agree Eric. With you, Omar. We just need better, man.
You heard that, Alan?
Yeah, I got you.
Alan, I tried to whisper as slow as possible, but he caught it. I said, I want to see yours, but I whispered. I was like, I want to see yours. Not because I don't like Tua. I just want to see what he can do. Eric with the $2 donation said, Tua's last 17 games, 26 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 9 fumbles.
He ain't throwing interceptions in bunches anymore. That's for sure.
He's trying to prove so actually Omar saying that was good because I was trying to prove a point, so maybe he won't be throwing them in bunches, you know. You never know. Shadow Fame with the fiver said last night proved Tua is the issue. McDaniel made a game plan that kept defense and Allen off field, was ugly but working. Then Tua became Tua. It was working for like two of the four quarters, or how many drives? It was like two, three drives offensive. It was working. Outside of that, like run game was tackle for loss and
bad throws
and all that
stuff. Did you know, by the way, I put up on Twitter, it was the weirdest thing. Until the interception, every Dolphin drive was either a three and out or a touchdown. The weirdest thing I've ever seen.
You got one or the other, nothing in between. Shadow Fade again with the fiver said McDaniel was hired to fix Tua. He did, but Tua has been regressing since last year, missing open throws, bad incomplete, bad interceptions, can't throw deep anymore. Yeah, somebody asked me on Twitter, is McDaniel attached to Tua? And I said yes. Because McDaniel's hired specifically for Tua. So, yeah, like you wanted essentially you want the head coaching job, you got to fix this guy. If not, we're going to go with someone else. And he was like, I want the job.
So, I feel like he should have distanced himself this offseason. And when I say distant, not distant, but say Tua needs to be better, this person needs to be better, Tyreek needs to, everybody has something to prove. And if they can't prove it, then we'll find somebody who can. That would have set a tone. What happened?
I think today was probably the most critical that I've kind of heard Mike McDaniel about Tua. It wasn't all glowing praises or excuses or justification. It was more like, yeah, we need our quarterback to play better. And I don't know if I've ever heard that from Mike.
Yeah. Smarty James with the fiver said, if it was a no-look pass to attempted on the interception, does that make it better or worse in your opinion?
It wasn't a no-look pass.
It kind of was. He didn't really look where he was throwing it.
He never does. Big we know that. In front of him. He knows the spot.
Yeah, he was trying to look off one guy. He said he didn't see the defender come out of his peripheral, and then the big man in front of him threw it. What do you say? 10 times out of 10, I make that throw or something like that?
Or I would make that throw.
Yeah. Well, you did. Oh, it's 9 times.
Regardless.
Shadow Fate, member for 4 months. This is one of the perks if you want to become a member. Time to end Tua era. Don't Tannehill this again. Unless they can find somebody that wants to trade for him next year, he is going to be on the Dolphins next year. It's the only way they can move off of Tua is they have to trade him.
I wouldn't say that so fast, Doug. I mean, he stay on this trajectory right here. It ain't no way you can keep him on the roster. He got to improve this year. You think they cut him
and eat that dead cap? That's a lot.
He has to play better this year.
If they go scorched earth, maybe they could do a complete reset and do like Denver did last year with Russell Wilson. And they made the playoffs after eating all that salary cap space.
Touche. John C. with the fiver says, 7 runs and 15 passes on second down. No $100 this week. Sorry, guys. They at least try to make third downs manageable. One day.
My money, man.
Nobody, we're watching the game now, rooting like, run the ball, second down. Nobody with the fiver says, watching a Dolphins loss when they had a real chance was tough, but seeing Fitzpatrick shirtless in the post game was worse. Just damn. BDP with the tenor with the super sticker, we appreciate you. Sanch, if they don't fire Greer at the end, no matter the outcome, I'm not giving this team another chance. Again, don't expect him to be fired. He's going to be moved,
reassigned. Yeah,
he's going to be Tannenbaumed, as we like to call it. Just go over here. We put snacks in that room, and then they're just going to lock the door behind him. He's just going to stay in that room.
I need to let Greer coach.
Oh boy, here we go. Leno with the fiver.
Skip his, man.
We knew it was coming. What did I miss? Who won the game? TD, where's my money? And I told you Finns ain't making the playoffs, just like the great Omar Kelly said as well. Leno, you know for a fact. When the fourth quarter started and the game was tied,
you were nervous.
Mm-hmm. You were scared. All these Buffalo Bill fans all like puffing their chest. You eked past a bad team.
They were scared at halftime too. They were scared. They was a little bit, shaking in their boots.
That's the quiet at halftime. You probably hear someone fart in the stands. Dead quiet.
On that final drive, oh man, it got real quiet. You could literally hear a whisper.
That's the crazy part. There was no fan noise, no let's get them off track. They were actually like, what is going on?
Talking all that junk. Kickback with the fiver said, boycott for better days. No financial support until Greer and McDaniel are gone for good. They're going to make a bigger banner. And send that sucker across the stadium. Jay Finns with the tenor said, Tua looks too cautious, almost panicky under the slightest of pressure. And there was moments last night when it seemed like he bailed early instead of staying composed. Do you think that's fixable? Yeah, I noticed the same thing. At one point, I even was screaming at my TV. I'm like, just step up. Like, he stepped back and started running. If he would have just stepped up to his left, it completely opened. But he gets so panicky now. It's like someone said it's the Derek Carr. It's the Derek Carr effect.
And also makes it look like he's getting more pressure than he actually is. Not to say the pass protection was great last night, but
I think a lot of people aren't realizing too that this system isn't solely timing anymore. McDaniel's doing a few more wrinkles and some different things that Tua may not be strong at, but he can make the play. It's just a matter of if he does it consistently. His timing is just off. We're not just running the same things that he's just, this is me. I'm in a rhythm, you know? So I think that's the problem. And now his footwork and stuff is starting to
I totally disagree with you, TD. I think that they need to incorporate more RPO. I think they need to incorporate more I formation. I think they need to incorporate more rollout. They need to diversify what they do.
More of a pro style system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Nightwolf with the fiver says, if we as a team decide to make a move/move on, do you really see them letting Greer redo the team? Why let him build for a new GM? Generally curious. That's one that Omar, I got that question for you, because that's something I'm also hearing, right? Like, say the wheels are really falling off and by the trade deadline, we have won like two games. Why are they going to trust Greer to get something for who could potentially be a new GM?
Because you know he's going to do what's in the best interest of the organization. Because you know, I think y'all know how I feel about Greer's situation and how it's tied to Flores. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. I don't think he will be in power if they continue to look poor, but. You know, I don't know because that Flores lawsuit is going to trial.
True, mm-hmm. That's true. Trapper Die with the Fiver says everybody's screaming fire McDaniel, should be saying fire Weaver. Defense have been bad since last year. Look at the quarterbacks he's lost to. McDaniel made to a star in the first two seasons. The reason me personally is I have seen no growth from Tua from McDaniel. It's kind of the same. He's kind of like when it comes to his adjustments and halftime adjustments and time management and everything. It's the fact that we had all those penalties last week against Pittsburgh against New England is why I'm like, there's no change. So that's why I want to move on. Gotta get someone better. Shadow Fate. One day TD will say Steelers name properly.
I mean, I ain't trying to disrespect the man. I'm just bad with names, but maybe I'll learn it when he starts showing up.
He got paid.
Had to take a little shot.
No, but Alan, I told like now we're three games in now.
Yes.
We're three games and okay.
Yeah. Trapper Die with the Tour says McDaniel has coached great games and Tua blows it. Yeah. It goes back and forth, to be honest with you.
You gotta stop putting just the one play. I mean, I don't never make an excuse for Tua. But it wasn't as bad as we all making it out to be.
No. It was just again.
Yeah, he missed some throws, bad pick. But you know what? I take that game from him.
Mm.
Is better than I saw in week one.
It's a low bar, dude. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, holy moly.
Well, it's better than what we saw week three of last year in, you know, against Buffalo. So, you know, I agree.
Week three last year was Seattle, by the way. That's it.
You know what I mean.
I'm very, very precise with that.
Eric with the Tour says, Tua is the next Russell Wilson with that contract. I mean, maybe. Like I said, before we came on, he's the brains of the operation right here. Who, me? Nobi with the tenor said the highest paid offense should be carrying the team. The defense was built from a yard sale purchase and a dumpster diving. Expect them to look better, but we really didn't invest.
That's why I don't talk about the defense. If you didn't see this, now I didn't see the D line not being as effective as it hasn't been. But the overall defense, come on, man. We need to, like, they have blame, but what did y'all had high expectations?
The funny thing.
Well, hold on.
Good.
No, I was going to say some people, some media members in South Florida were ready to proclaim the front seven one of the best in the NFL. So I think there were some people. I was like,
nah, they had me drinking the Kool-Aid for like 3 days.
There you go.
You know what had me drinking the Kool-Aid? That Jaguars joint practice when they were just getting after Trevor Lawrence and the sack and the interceptions. I was like, oh, all right. But the funny thing is, yesterday, the secondary was better than the front was.
I thought the two cornerbacks played very well. I thought Douglas played very well. Like
that one play with Brooks, though, I think it was Brooks, where the running back, if Brooks didn't dive and smack the ball out, that would have been like at least a touchdown. It was a great play. It was like a crossing route where the running back came out. Great play. Mm-hmm. Absolutely great play. I think Tua gets nervous when playing against the Bills because two of his concussions came from the Bills. Thoughts?
And the broken ribs.
I don't think he gets nervous from it though, but I knew that. Well, let me tell you the play where I knew that something is off. I don't even want to bother trying to figure out what it was when he had that Shedeur Sanders run. Remember Shedeur Sanders in preseason was going backwards. Tua was like, let me get away from you. Wait, hold on. Let me come. No, wait. Like, I was like, he was running backwards. I'm like, no, there's something's going on. Like, this whole timing is disrupted.
And on that play, he had Malik Washington pop open early in the route.
Yeah.
Those where the ball needed to be out, and he held on to it, and then that play was gone.
I think that was the same exact play I was saying. If he steps up to the left, because it opened up.
No, correct. No, but
Alan talked about right that he was right there. Bam, right at the pass, should have fired. But we've seen Tua execute that at a high level. Yes. The hitch, the 1-2, the 2 steps, a 3. And it's like, and I don't want to make it seem like, because I know I debate with people on him processing the field. Mm. I think McDaniel has him in some cases trying to actually process the full field, and he's hesitating because by the time he realized that's there, now I can't throw it because I had to think through it. I think they've gotten away from some of the quick hits, just through the middle, just everywhere. Like, it was like seamless without thinking. Now everything looks like it got a semi-second thought before it happens.
That's true.
And that's what's slowing him down.
Birthday Salami with the fiver said Tua playing like he's hearing Deshaun Watson rumors. Wrong. Brad Boss of the tour says Jalen Hurts is clutch in key moments, no comparison.
But he's got to completely stop.
I was going to say, it's easy to be clutch when you got the offensive line, the weapons, the run game.
But why do we keep saying that about Jalen Hurts? We have to also recognize the moments where the things around him breaks down. What does he do? Because I know it's he protects the football and he improvises and make plays when the run game is getting shut down, which is rare. But in the rare moments that it does, when he's flushed out of the pocket, his play and Tua's play is night and day. That's why I don't like that comparison. I get he got everything around him, so life is easy. But in those rare moments where it's hard, he still performs.
There are two such completely different quarterbacks, and then Tua having little to no scrambling running element to his game makes his margin for error. He's got to be a lot more on his game. Because he's not going to contribute very much. Like Josh Allen, like against, was it against maybe the Jets, where he didn't have very low passing numbers, but he will kill you with his running.
And then my only pushback on that is if you look at 2021, before they really built that team around him, he didn't really have much clutch moments. He went, his record again. This is,
who was that?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's the young version. That's the young version. And maybe it's also the fact that he was allowed to be more comfortable that helped him. And Tua never has had comfort.
Exactly. I agree. That's where I'm coming from. Because if you looked at the Chiefs game last week, he really didn't do anything. And, you know, Chris Jones even said it, you know, he's like, you barely threw for 100 yards. And he was like, shut your bank up. We're winning.
Hey, but Doug, this is the stuff that can't go underrated. That rebuttal alone sets the tone for the guys around him.
Yeah,
this is what I'm talking about. That was some leadership stuff. Like, shut up. Like we won the game. And for your teammates to see that. And then what did his teammates do? They start stepping up in front of Jones like, come on now. So that's what it's about, man. It's setting the tone, and I don't know.
John C. with the tenor says, if Greer is subpoenaed, is he going to commit perjury just because he's still employed? Doubtful. I don't think – there's some legality to it that if he's still with the team – something and whatever. I don't know what it is, nor do I care. Fire the man. Marcus with $50. He said, has Hill been a bust? I haven't seen nearly as much criticism about Hill, who, if you check, has had more drops in games against winning teams and is getting paid well, also for being that so-called best player on the team. Hill to evaluate his game.
Correct. Let me address that very quickly. Yes, some people have gotten on Tyreek's case, and you're absolutely right. There was one fly ball where he jumped before the two defenders, got his hands on it, probably needs to make that catch. But if you're going to dig in with it for that, then you need to recognize that he made a hell of a catch on a third down completion where Tula was rolling out to his left and threw it high and behind him.
Yeah.
He reached. And that was a tough catch. On the other one, absolutely. And then also, he also converted a third down when he caught about a six-yard pass on third and eight, and then he curled in front of the defenders.
I think with that whole situation, too, it's Tua's throwing it to Hill like he's Justin Jefferson when Hill isn't Justin Jefferson. You know, like, you keep throwing passes to this 5'11" receiver like he's 6'2". Like, yeah, he can get up there, but, you know, but then on the flip side, it hits your hands, you got to catch it. It's like, I see both ends of the spectrum on that.
Last week's deep ball to Tyreek and this week's deep ball to Tyreek, both of them were horrible passes.
100%. 100%.
And we're asking Tyreek to go bail it. And he's 50%. What more? I mean, on a 50-50 ball. He got it last week, didn't get it this week. You want him to get it, but we asking him to be 100%. That's what it really comes down to. And Tua's putting everything he got into it. I don't know what they, man, I ain't trying to speculate, but is he healthy? Like, healthy
this.
Physically?
The deep pass against the Patriots was the most sloppy technical pass I have seen. And when he was working with the QB3D and when he was working with Nick Hicks, he was not doing that. And he's not working with them anymore. He's working with primarily the Miami Dolphins. That Patriot one, he cocked his body so far back and like that's not, it's the hips. Like, and then of course, you know, we watched that and then, what was it, Monday night, we watched Justin Herbert just rocket their ball like right to Williams for like it was just you watch it, you just shake your head, you go, geez, what are we gonna do there?
To answer the question, he's not appeared on the injury report all year for somebody
to ask. And he has to if there's something.
If he's missing practice reps.
Marcellus with the tenor says, let's sing the Dolphins fight song and pretend everything's okay.
Miami has it all.
The greatest football team.
John C. with the tenor says, this game buys everyone another week. I think this offense and second half defense wins next week. If they lose, it's over for the guys. If they win, schedule does get easier. It does. It does. It definitely opens up and brings the potential to get to back to 500 if they play like they did against Buffalo, against the inferior teams. And then finally, Milton with the tenor says, most, if not all, people expected this to be a blowout. I was one included. First game ever I've been against the Dolphins. That was a weird feeling. Wanted them to do good, but lose the game to make money. Y'all are great. Yeah, 12 and a half. If you bet Buffalo, you lost. It was a 12 and a half spread.
Not to pat myself on the back. Who am I kidding? I'm going to pat myself on the back. On Miami Dolphins on SI.com, my final score prediction was 34-24 for the Bills.
Wow. What was the final?
I mean,
31-21. You're so close.
Yeah.
Wow.
So close. But that is all for today. We will see you guys on Tuesday at 7:30. We will all be back.
Can I point out very quickly, just on behalf of Omar, Omar texted us that there's Wi-Fi connection while on the planes. On the plane awaiting his flight, got bad. That's why he bailed. There wasn't any sort of statement on us.
Yeah. In actuality, let me read the actual tweet text. He said, I can't stand TD. I don't know why I do this show anymore. I'm out. So we'll see what happens on Tuesday. If you want to see it.
Safe travels, Omar. Safe travels.
Come Tuesday at 7:30. And we'll have a boxing match live here on the channel. But
it's going to be wrestling with Coco Beware down there.
There you go. And Booker T. There you go.
Set it up, man. Next training camp, man.
Go check out match. Alan on Miami Dolphins on SI, TD, and TD Finns Talk. Also, if you didn't know, the AFC's roundtable was at the game, and he had to sit next to Dan Mitchell for the whole game, and that – you know, you got, I wish I was there like a fly on the wall to see you get on him every time we tied it, because you know he was another one.
Remember, we went up first
and he was nervous.
I was live in there, man, and it just start creeping away.
And you can check me out on youtube.com/DougLeeDurong. Other than that, we will see you Tuesday 7:30. Peace out, Cub Scout.